You are listening to Pastor Talk.
And it is challenging. It certainly is different from where we were before, which was just outside of Atlanta. And I think for us, you know, the biggest differences are it's just simply not any part of the culture here. Mm-hmm. Whereas, let's say, for instance, you know, in Atlanta, someone may not go to church, but yet it's a part of the culture. For example, our kids, one of my sons got invited to a birthday party. This is here in San Diego, one Sunday, and it was on Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. was the birthday party. And, you know, for us, this happened a couple of years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was just like, it finally sank. Like, I knew it.
Yeah.
But it really, like, became this real, I mean, a true reality that, wow, this is not even on the radar at all for people.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Duran. My guests today on Pastor Talk are Dave Miller. Dave's the pastor of Southern Hills Baptist Church in Sioux City, Iowa. He's the primary editor at sbcvoices.com, an influential blog about Southern Baptist matters. And he's the immediate past president of the SBC Pastors Conference that was held just this past June in Phoenix, Arizona. Also, Kevin Campbell. Kevin is originally from South Carolina, but is now a church planter and founding pastor of Elevate Church, located in San Diego, California, actually just north. He has an MDiv from Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. He and his wife, Susan, have four kids. And then rounding out the panel today is Josh Presley, who is originally from south of Knoxville, Tennessee, so southern boy like me. He's the lead pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Caribou, Maine, which is within sight lines of Canada, specifically New Brunswick. He's an MDiv student at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He and his wife, Kelsey, have one son, Hudson. They are all ministering outside the Bible Belt, and I'm really glad they're with me today. Welcome back to Pastor Talk. It's great to have you today. I'm really excited about today's roundtable. These are three guys who pastor outside of the Bible Belt, and our subject today is ministry outside the Bible Belt. I realize a lot of you who are listening are in the South or Texas or somewhere that we kind of generally refer to as the Bible Belt, maybe even the buckle of the Bible Belt. But more and more, there are pastors across, especially across America, who are not in traditionally Christian stronghold areas. And so three of those are with me today, and one of them is Dave Miller, who pastors Southern Hills Baptist Church in Sioux City, Iowa. Kevin Campbell is in San Diego, and Josh Presley is in Caribou, Maine, which is spitting distance from North America's Hat, Canada. So welcome, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Dave, we'll start with you since you're kind of the elder statesman. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, where you live, that kind of thing.
I am Dave Miller. I live in Sioux City, Iowa, pastor of Southern Hills Baptist Church here. I've been here 12 years now, pastored across the state for almost 15 years. So I've been in Iowa for 25 years. I grew up here in Iowa, actually. So been here at different times for a long time. I have four children and six grandchildren, and family's kind of a big deal for us. Our kids live all over the nation, though, so we don't get to see them as much as we'd like, but that's kind of what I do. And
very good. All right, who's Kevin Campbell?
Yes, right here. I'm in San Diego, and I have four children. My wife and I been married 16 years. And we have children ranging from 15 to 8 years old. Our oldest is a girl, youngest is a girl, two boys in the middle.
Wow.
And we've been living in San Diego now for 8 years. We had our youngest here, so she's a California baby. And we started Elevate Church almost 8 years ago.
All right, Josh Presley.
Yeah, Josh Presley, living up here in Caribou, Maine, which is, as you said, we're 7 hours north of Boston.
Wow.
So up here we get about 150 inches of snow per year. That's normal, and it's pretty chilly. Been here 7 years, and I've been at Calvary Baptist here in Caribou, Maine, which is a 53-year-old church plant from a bunch of Air Force guys.
Wow.
Used to be an Air Force base up here. And so they planted it going on 53 years ago. I've been here 7 years and the lead pastor for 5 years. And I'm married to Kelsey for 8 years. And my son, Hudson, is 3 years old.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited to have you guys on the program today. One of the reasons is we commonly refer to the Bible Belt, and you know everybody kind of knows that in some ways it's actually coming unbuckled. And so a lot of folks in the Bible Belt are going to have to learn how to not feel like the Bible Belt anymore. So the longer we go at this thing in the States, there's going to be the feeling in the South where it's kind of been at least the norms and mores of Christianity have held for a while, that's going to start going away to a degree and to a large degree in some places. And so different things that you've experienced being outside the Bible Belt are going to become, I think, more normal inside the Bible Belt. And so I think you guys are going to have a lot to say, not just to a church planter in Idaho or Minneapolis, but to guys who are in Birmingham and Atlanta and Knoxville and Nashville and all across the South. So, Dave, you were on the mission field for a while as a kid, if I remember right, and so you lived in other places. You mentioned your dad actually pastored in Bangor, Maine for a while. When in your experience, and especially we are all Southern in the Southern Baptist Convention, and so you're familiar with the you know the feel of Southern kind of flavored Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
How does that differ being in Iowa?
Well, I pastored in Virginia for 4 years in a little town there.
Mm-hmm.
There was 600 people in the town and 400 members in our church. And I hate to bring up race, but it was a racially divided town, 60-40 white. So you could figure out the ratio. Basically, pretty much all the white people in the town were members of our church.
Okay.
It was something. I mean, we owned that town. Mm-hmm. It was a little Methodist church, a little Presbyterian church, a little, you know, but everybody in that town, I didn't see most of them the 4 years I pastored there. I married them, I buried them, but everybody there was part of our church.
Right.
You know, there was this momentum. You don't have that in Iowa. I mean, people think of, when they hear Southern Baptist, they expect that we handle snakes. they think of us very poorly. They have these ideas that come, you know, from some of the things they hear in the news, some of the things they hear, see, they have this perception of us that's very negative. And so there's no Southern Baptist momentum here. You knock on a door, you'll find a Catholic or a Lutheran. You don't find, there's nobody. I asked the people in my church a couple of years ago, actually, several years ago now, I'm old. But I asked them, if you have a Southern Baptist background, raise your hand. Three pastors in the church and one other family.
Wow.
That's it.
Kevin, when you, if Dave pastored in Virginia in a town of 600 and he had 400 of the members, seems to me like you being in San Diego should have like 15,000 members in your church.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's pretty impressive, man.
So what's it like out there?
Yeah, it's but not the case in San Diego. But it, I mean, it definitely, you know, I think sometimes people see maybe like TV shows, reality TV shows or something, and they oftentimes, if they've never been here, just kind of project, oh, that's exactly what it's like there in California or San Diego, maybe specifically, you know. But you know, our journey, you know, we haven't seen that. I mean, the people here are, I mean, obviously I love the city. I love the people. It's incredible. And at the same time, obviously there are challenges and it is challenging. It certainly is different from where we were before, which was just outside of Atlanta. And I think for us, you know, the biggest differences are, it's just simply not any part of the culture here. Mm-hmm. Whereas, let's say, for instance, you know, in Atlanta, someone may not go to church, but yet it's a part of the culture. For example, our kids, one of my sons got invited to a birthday party. This is here in San Diego, one Sunday, and it was on Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. was the birthday party. And, you know, for us, this happened a couple of years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I was just like, it finally sank. Like, I knew it.
Yeah.
But it really, like, became this real, I mean, a true reality that, wow, this is not even on the radar at all for people, even those who don't know Christ, but yet aren't even aware of, you know, of Christianity or whatever.
Josh, what's
so
the,
something for us.
Josh, what's the, to play off of what Kevin's just talking about, kind of the cultural understanding and the cultural nuances around, you know, Christian things. What's it like in Maine when you're standing outside the general store, striking up a conversation with someone about, you know, dispensationalism or whatever?
Yeah, I think, I mean, my experience moving here is if you took my hometown, moved to 1,400 miles north, it'd be kind of the same thing with some differences. I mean, we've got NASCAR, country music, four-wheel drives, and mullet haircuts, just like East Tennessee. But, I mean, this is a small farming community. So when you're talking to them outside of a store, there's an inoculation, I think, with God things, but it's more from a Catholic perspective. It's very interesting, you know, when I talk to someone and I say, yeah, do you know Jesus? Well, their grandfather knew, you know, was very committed to the Catholic Church, so they're Catholic as well.
So very family lineage oriented.
It's a very, very family driven, very last name driven. Up here, there's some kind of power families.
Yeah. How long do you live there before you're no longer a stranger? Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
It's interesting to me that Kevin's in San Diego and Josh is in Maine, but what they're saying is so similar. You know, San Diego, Sioux City, and the northern outreaches of Maine, it's very similar. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, yeah, that's exactly what I go through. It's very interesting, you know.
So once you get outside of a stronghold, the general thing is the same. There's an out of touch with the basics of Christianity. Although, you know, once you start delving into it, the missionary way you're going to approach San Diego might be different than Iowa, might be different than Caribou, Maine. But the essential that people are disconnected from the gospel is the same there as it would be in any other place where Christianity hadn't had a church on every corner for 150 years. Kevin, what's been the biggest challenge other than having to tell your son he couldn't go to the Easter birthday party?
Yeah, I think he was okay about that one. But I think the biggest challenge when we first got here, I think we thought not certainly not that church planning would be easy, but we thought it would be easier to make a deeper connection with people than it actually took. Because, you know, it's San Diego is an amazing city. But I would compare it to, for at least where we live, it's kind of like the American dream on steroids sometimes. And so, you know, longer we've been here, obviously we've gotten behind the facade and see some of the brokenness and some of the things on the outward that people try to keep this. I mean, image is absolutely everything.
Wow.
And so it's, which makes it really hard to oftentimes to get beneath that, to see where people are hurting or how you can minister to them. And so it took us a while to really cultivate that trust, the relationships, and to get past the surface in relationships with people than we thought it would take.
Dave, anything related to that, or did your time in Virginia, I mean, that give you any street cred in Iowa, in either Sioux City or the other place where you preached? I mean, being 15 years in one and about 12 in the other, that's a long time to be at a single church. How long was it before you really felt like you weren't a guy from out of town?
Well, I grew up in Cedar Rapids 10 years from the earliest time I could remember. I was born in Fort Worth. My dad was in seminary.
Okay.
But my earliest memories were in Cedar Rapids. So I actually, this is going to sound weird, but that shouldn't shock you. I pastored people who had me in the nursery, who, you know, probably changed my diapers in the nursery. I pastored them at the church that it was a plant of the church my dad pastored.
Okay.
So I had credibility there, other than the fact that some of them had trouble not thinking of me as a child and RAs and, you know, or something like that.
Right.
But I didn't have that. I was going home when I went to Cedar Rapids from Virginia. I was going back to the town I grew up in. So there was a little different there, coming here, I was already a known quantity. I'd been president of the state convention. And so I didn't really have that kind of trying to acculturate. Yeah. I was more of an Iowan coming home than I was a Southerner coming to. But I tell you one thing, when you come from the South to an area outside of the South, it's very important that you do come into the culture that's there, learn the culture and join in, get involved in the community. That's very important. It really is.
Josh, do people in Maine still look to see if you drove a spaceship into town?
I think, yeah, I mean, one of the things I noticed here was that since this is pretty far north, I think you'll never break into, at least in this culture, I don't know that anyone who's ever moved away into this community has ever been considered from here.
Wow.
I think even third or fourth generation, my kids' kids' kids would still probably known as from away, especially since my last name is Presley. So kind of gets me away fast.
That is awesome. So, anything now, did you go with the North American Mission Board to Maine?
No, I was at Southeastern Seminary and we just moved here out of tragedy. My wife's aunt passed away. So we moved here when her uncle lost his wife and they had three little girls. So we moved here. I didn't even know there was a Southern Baptist church this far north.
Wow.
We were coming to help family because his wife died and their kids were very little. And I found Calvary Baptist on the way. I was kind of on staff before I even moved here. We were having phone meetings with the lead pastor here before I even moved here, right out of seminary class.
That's amazing. Kevin, when you think of your ministry there at Elevate in the San Diego area, what's something that you maybe were concerned about, maybe even had a dread over, that turned into maybe it was a surprise to you as a positive thing, whether it was an insight into the culture or whether it was, you know, finding somebody of influence that was able to open a door for you? What was something that happened to you since you've been there that you were like, wow, that was really awesome and I didn't expect it?
Yeah, it's always, you know, been about the people. And I think, you know, when you go to a city or something, you know, you're always thinking, oh, you know, reach the city, make a difference, all that. But I think at the end of the day, you know, what my wife and I, you know, have desired to be about is all about the one. And so I think for us, we never really completely, you know, grasped or really thought through just how meaningful some of the relationships that we would have while we're here. And to see God change lives in the way that he has over time. The second thing that has been really neat to see, San Diego is a very transient city. So that can be good and bad. You know, it's definitely difficult in starting a church when you have, you know, there's several military bases here. People come here for business for a couple of years because they like the city and then end up, you know, moving or something else. And so that can be hard when it comes to planting a church, while at the same time, you know, we just decided, we actually just sent, you know, a couple out that's going to Northern California, another guy that was our group's director, you know, as a volunteer serving in a capacity. He's moving to Boston for a job. And we just decided, you know, we can lose people or send them. And we just decided to be a church that sends people. And so there may be a job or something that's paying their way, but we see them as missionaries, you know, to go in other parts of the country and in some cases other parts of the world to make a difference for Christ. And so that's kind of what we've embraced and seen a really awesome thing that God's done.
Dave, what do you see, or maybe even in your experience, is there a difference in is there a way that relationships, personal relationships, function differently when you're trying to get the gospel proclaimed outside the Bible Belt? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And I, you know, I mean, relationships matter everywhere. I read Micah Fries's stuff all the time about relationships, you know, that Matt, and he's in what, Chattanooga. I mean, it's all about relationships everywhere. I think in areas like this, we have to gain credibility as Southern Baptists, especially a church like ours that has Baptist in the name. Mm-hmm. And the Baptists in Iowa, in the Midwest, tend to be liberal Baptists. There's a few of those, or it's sort of the more extreme King James only type Baptist. So, mm-hmm. so we have to gain credibility. Two things happened in Iowa that have been very good. One was disaster relief.
Mm-hmm.
Came in. We had a flood in 93, huge flood, and Baptist disaster relief came in throughout the state. And that really, boy, I tell you what, that made a huge difference. In general, in Iowa, they're like, wow, these Baptists are amazing. And then World Changers came into Sioux City and to Cedar Rapids, some, but in Sioux City especially. Our mayor is a Southern Baptist here in Sioux City, and he coordinated it. World Changers was huge. And then we had Upward Basketball for many, many years here. And these kinds of things that tell the community that you're here, that you're investing in the community, it's really important that you don't just stand on the street corner and shout the gospel, which is fine, but that you invest in the community, that you do things that, you know, show them that you're here to serve. And I think when you don't have any denominational momentum, you don't have any credibility. You know, Southern Baptist has no credibility here. In fact, it has negative, what do they call that, Q rating or something like that?
That's your story. Negative. Tell it the way you want to.
Well, I think they call it that. It's negative here. So we have to go out and be credible in the community.
Josh, how does your church, now 53 years is a long time, I think you said 53, from the time it was planted until now, how does your community in Caribou view the church? Do they view it with suspicion, or is there some amount of credibility, or do they just think of you guys as the church or the Baptists or something weird?
Right. We started a replant about 8 or 9 years ago, started a couple years before I got here. And the goal really was, I mean, because our church almost shut down because the Air Force Base here closed.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Air Force Base closed, we had about 10 people left. And so really what most people responded was, oh, you guys are still open? So what we tried to do, and actually we're right in the middle of it this week, is a week that we call Calvary Cares About Caribou. And it's just a whole week where we do service mm-hmm. projects around our city, our whole church. We just take time. We go around and we've gone to our city and said, what can we do for you? We've got a whole week for you. And we've been doing that about 5 years. And since that time, we've been winning awards. We've won a couple of awards from the city and from the school system.
When you say you went to the city and asked, you mean like to the mayor, to the city council, and asked for what the specific needs are?
Right. We went to our city officials and we went to the recreation department and said, hey, what can we do for you guys? We're here to serve. And at first they were a little apprehensive, and that's where that apprehension comes in, because most people here would see a church as really just taking tax dollars away because, you know, population here is decreasing.
Right.
So what we've done is every year we're ready. We've got this week set aside. And by doing that, we started to really try to change the tide. And I love marketing, so with our logo, I just stamp that on everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping with that when our church name is associated, that's really associated with, oh, those are the guys that did this and they did that. And they love us here and they love us there. I really hope that it just kind of tells our community that our church exists to love them, not to just take their tax dollars.
Kevin, have you been able to find the kind of the key that's turning people's heads or opening their minds to elevate being there and what you guys are trying to do? Or are you still kind of looking for that cultural key?
I think one is that, you know, I mentioned earlier that how hard it is sometimes to break through the facade. because of the culture we live in and everything here in San Diego. While at the same time, what we have come to find out is, and I know just this word in general can be way overused of authenticity, but if just simply being real, even real about our own struggles, whether it's our struggles in our marriage or whether it's, you know, things that we're walking through with our kids or whatever, that because it is so rare, people actually, because I believe down deep in their soul, they do have a longing for that. And so when they see it, they want it and they embrace it. So we have tried really hard, whether it's in our teaching on Sundays or in personal relationships or in our groups, to cultivate an environment that is real and relatable, where people know they can open up, be honest, and it's okay. And we, you know, we say it often, hey, it is okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay there. We want to help you, you know, walk through that. Mm-hmm. That's probably been the big thing that we feel like has helped been a turnkey, so to speak, in an environment that's not used to it, to be incredibly real and being open and vulnerable. But you have to lead the way. You know, we have to lead the way in being vulnerable, and then often people begin to open up to that.
Since you brought up teaching, I'm going to stick with you, and then I'm going to go to excuse me, Dave and Josh on this exact same thing. Is your teaching style that you're using at Elevate, do you think it would be common in the Bible Belt? Is it like, you know, Sawdust Trail, fiery Billy Sunday, you know, staring down at the devil through a knot hole type of stuff? Or did you decide intentionally to adopt a different style since you were outside of where that would be more common?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely not, you know, 3 points in a poem, you know, or something. I mean, I also think you have to be yourself, you know, and people can see through that if you're not. So I think there is a degree where your own personality, own thing have to come through, while at the same time, you know, you're trying to relate to a community and to a people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is key. And then, you know, just like Jesus did, I mean, we try to find where people are, meet them there. And this is even in the teaching, you know, meet them there, but then help bring them to where God wants them to be. And so I do get excited. I am, you know, a passionate person in general. So I do get excited. I will, man, you know, just go after it on Sunday. But then at the same time, part of it is more conversational, so to speak, you know, so it's kind of both.
Dave, the style that you use, has it changed? Have you intentionally changed your preaching style at any point in your ministry based on where you were and how you felt would be more a more effective or better way to communicate to a particular group?
I guess I've maybe made a few changes, but honestly, my preaching style comes from a conviction about, you know, expositional preaching. So that's convictional. And, you know, I might tweak a few things like, hey, I probably need to try to go a few minutes less just to, or beef up the alt. Yeah, watch it. But beef up the, you know, I realize I have a problem that I go too long and then I cut the sermon off and I don't really apply it enough. So, you know, I try to work on that. I mean, I tweak it, but what I do in preaching is convictional. So I, you know, based on my training when I was young and the way I was raised under my father's preaching. And so I haven't tweaked that much. Tweaking comes more with programs and strategies and structures and things like that than the preaching. You know, that's just how I am.
That makes sense. Josh, what about you? The way you preach in Caribou, would it be the same as if you were in Knoxville?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, I'm an expositional guy too. And so and up here, although it is a little different, I mean, our area here is functionally illiterate. Most people are reading on a fourth or fifth grade level or less. And so for us, our people, especially in our community, respond well to stories and illustration.
Mm-hmm.
And So sometimes we use kind of the IMB method, International Mission Board method, that is used where we do Bible storing, kind of an expositional storing. And that seems to work really well with non-Christians, but with church people, they hate it. So they want something deeper. But I mean, for us, I try to stick to the text as close as possible. And I illustrate it and apply it, obviously, with as close as the culture as I can. So most times I'm talking about potato farming or snow or, you know, and I'm illustrating with local kind of pieces.
Yeah.
What's been, and Dave, I'm coming back to you with this question because I don't think I asked you this. Josh, what's been the surprising positive from the time that you moved to Maine and went on part-time and now kind of full-time or at least lead pastor? I'm not sure if you're full-time at the church or not, but kind of the lead guy. What's been the thing that was like, oh, I didn't expect this, but man, that's really good?
Yeah, one of the cool things that I have seen is that churches are more willing to work together here, especially evangelical churches that are on the same page with inerrancy and the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, up here, we have so much spiritual darkness. Pastors are under attack even more spiritually and, you know, just generally. And so we have seen more churches willing to work together to reach our communities. That's really been a great positive thing, crossing denominational border boundaries. So I've really appreciated that.
What about you, Dave? Anything from the time that you've been in Iowa, that you didn't expect that it was like, wow, that's really cool?
I would have to pretty much say probably the same thing. I have been much more, you know, in the South, you have fellowship with your association, and a lot of times you don't have much fellowship with other churches. In fact, that's viewed suspiciously here. You just don't have that option. I mean, there's another Southern Baptist church across town, and there's another one about a half hour away and another one nearly an hour away. But there's a church across the street from mine. It's Assembly of God, but there's good people there. Mm-hmm. And we fellowship. They're friends of mine. You know, their tree fell in my yard. I live next door to their church, actually. The tree fell in my yard, and I called and complained about their charismatic trees falling in my yard. You know, I mean, And they laugh. We cross denominational fellowship is much more of a real thing because it's necessary.
Yeah,
I mean, pastors of other denominations saved my ministry in Cedar Rapids when I was in a very dark time. Just kept me going through the black time in my, you know, when the black dog howled. Is that what you call it, Marty?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Depression.
The black dog howled for me. It was pastors of assemblies and Foursquare and Alliance churches that kept me going. So that wouldn't have happened in Virginia or other places. And that's, you know, that's something you have to do. You know, I've had a lot of...
That's really good.
But that happens here. You don't have a choice. You've got to fellowship across denominational boundaries.
That's fantastic. You didn't make a slain in the spirit joke about that tree, I'm sure.
I may have. My son is actually the worship pastor at the assembly church.
Okay.
He married an assembly girl and they hired him. So I have made several inappropriate jokes with my son and their staff. We're really good friends. So
Man. Kevin, if a person's listening when this airs in several weeks, and they're thinking, man, maybe I need to leave, you know, where it's a little more comfortable and, you know, go to a place where there's a little bit less, you know, biblical light shining in the States or maybe even outside, but they want to plant a church and they're wanting to make, I mean, you went from West Georgia, which is really, really farmland, all the way out to what most people in America would think is a major city, and it is a major city on the opposite coast, three time zones difference, and a lot more than that, cultural difference. What would you say to that person who's thinking, God may be wanting me to plant a church in an area that's totally different from here and maybe spiritually dark?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first one is, you know, if you can do anything else, do it. You know, you got to know that you're really called, you know, because you will have you will have tough days where, you know, I personally have never experienced as much spiritual warfare. I remember someone was mentioning this earlier in their area of ministry as well, but than I have than when we moved here doing what we're doing. So you will face days when the enemy will whisper the lies. You know, there's days I woke up like, man, what am I doing? What was I thinking? You know, it's like kind of thing. And you gotta get back to, you know, you were called. I think the second thing is, you know, we tell our people, and most pastors do, hey, you can't do life alone. You know, you got to be in a group and those kind of things. And we're really good at preaching that. But it's been my experience that oftentimes we're not as good as practicing that ourselves. And so I'd say you can't do life alone, but you can't do ministry alone either. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. In the first few years here, I think in many ways, that's kind of what we did. Now, we had friends and partners in ministry and everything, but not to the degree of really opening our lives and different struggles and things that we were going through. And then I think, you know, and it really hurt us and it hurt our marriage. And I think what really saved us was opening ourselves up to other pastors, other people in ministry that say, you know what, I get it. I know I've been there. I know what you're going through. And that's the, I think one of the greatest lies of the enemy is that you're alone and no one understands.
Dave,
and
you
so
have,
I think it's so important that you have that.
Dave, you have anything to add to that on the same question?
I think he's right. I isolation is your enemy, and you know there are a lot of struggles. It's frustrating because if anything happens, you know, our church is going through a tough time right now, and in the South you go through that, and the you know, people have loyalty to the church and to the denomination. Here, when you have a tough time, people just say, I'm going somewhere else. You know, there's no momentum. So it's really tough. And it's discouraging when, because there is no loyalty to the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said in Cedar Rapids, the sheep trails between churches are deep here.
Wow.
And that's true. I don't know if that's true in other communities because I've been in Iowa for 27 years. So you know, I don't know how it is other places now, but people in Sioux City just roam from church to church. If you sneeze in their direction, they're like, I'm sorry, I can't stay here, you know. And so it's really tough and it's really discouraging when you have people. And I tell you what, he mentioned something there. It has been harder for my wife than it has been for me.
Mm.
It's been tough on my wife. If you're coming to a new work area outside the Bible Belt, make sure don't drag your wife. Make sure she's committed. When you get here, make sure she has a support group, probably outside the church,
mm-hmm.
because if it's inside the church, it can create problems. And just, I could say a lot more on that, but I can't, you know, but just, man, your wife has to have a support group. If you drag her 1,000 miles from her mommy and daddy and her, you know, her family, and you put her up in a place that's, every time it hit 20 below up here, my wife looked at me and said, are you sure we were called here?
I would have looked at you the same way.
Well, I wouldn't have married you. So,
hey, Josh, we're gonna let you end in the interview, the discussion with your answer to the same question. What would you tell the guy who's right now thinking, I wonder if God wants me to do that?
Yeah, I think we've all hit on, you know, in seminary, it seemed very sexy, the church plant or replant in New England. And I would say it's definitely not a pipe dream, but man, there's nothing more gratifying than being exactly where God would call you to serve. And most times that's coming with challenge. I would, on what Dave said, I think we've actually seen people have a harder time finding another church to escape to here. And if they do, we work together. So we've actually seen better retention in a lot of those ways. So that kind of works for us. If you come here, you know, we actually get a better shot at really discipling people through stuff they don't want to hear.
Yeah.
But I would also second for my wife, the greatest thing that I think helped her is that she's from Maine.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you meet a Bible girl at seminary is and from New England is we moved back here and she's from here, which really helped that. But I've seen a lot of people who move here and just like they said, they try to convince their spouse, could be the husband or the wife, and if both parties aren't in it, it's not going to last long term. So, but I mean, if you love the outdoors, if you love hunting, fishing, snowmobiling, four-wheeling.
And shoveling snow.
Shoveling snow, man, this is the place to be. I mean, it's gorgeous up here. And 20 below with dry cold is like 105 in the desert. It's not that bad.
Don't listen to him.
Oh, my guests today on Pastor Talk have been Dave Miller from Sioux City, Iowa, and Kevin Campbell from San Diego, California, and Josh Presley from Caribou, Maine, talking about ministry outside the Bible Belt. Thanks, guys, for being on today.
Thank you so much.
Having us. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. And until the next time, grace and peace to you. Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duran. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duran.